Praise the Lord. All right. Do your best. Aren't we blessed? Didn't the choir do good this morning? Amen. Feeling the Lord. They're singing. They're good kids. We love them. And we're blessed here at the church to have so many children and many young people that love the Lord. And I want to say this. I thank God for our school. We're not just getting kids ready for college. We're getting them ready to die. I mean, understands what I'm saying. It's what it's all about, isn't it? It really is. You know, parents go nuts just pulling their hair out wanting their child to be a doctor or a lawyer. I'll tell you, first and foremost, they need one to be a friend of God. Because we may not get to the doctor stage. Amen. Well, you can tell the preacher's got in me today. I hope you'll just pray for me. Matthew chapter 9, we're talking about the life of Christ, and we've been studying these Gospels for a while. I don't know how long we've been in Matthew. Sister Ethel May, do you know when we started on Matthew? I can't remember exactly. It's we're slow. 05, and we started Matthew in 05. What's this? Are you serious? 05, boy, I am slow, huh? We've got 8 chapters in 4 years. That's, they're going to call me molasses here if we keep going. But I'll tell you, it just grows on you, don't it? Is that the way it is with you? Huh? Now I get a little faster on Sunday night, Brother Mark. But we're going to talk about this great miracle here in the life of Christ. There's nothing we'd rather be doing this morning is talking about the life of the Son of God. And there's several things that are revealed to us in these Gospels about Jesus. And it would pay us to learn as much about the Son of God as we can. Amen. And he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now, I know that means learn from him, but, you know, you learn a lot about your teacher when you're learning from your teacher. Amen? I talked to a teacher in the dentist's office this week. I was over with my grands, and she had taught school for, some of y'all may know Miss Patton at Raven. She said she taught elementary for, I believe, 40 years. She retired last year. And, of course, she was a little upset with the way things were going now, and most older teachers are. But I'm telling you, you learn a lot about the character of a teacher. And Christ is teaching us, and we're learning about him. And I'll tell you, the more we know about him, the more we love him. Huh? Amen? So we're going to talk today about this miracle of this man that had the palsy. I heard a preacher, and I'm not making fun of him, but he called it palsy. And, you know, it's still the same thing. You're paralyzed either way, whatever you call it. This man had the palsy in the first verse in the 9th chapter. Now, last Sunday, we left Christ being rejected, so to speak, on the coast of the Gadareans. And he had just cast the devil out of a man, or two men, and had ruined a whole herd of good hogs. And so people, they didn't know whether they wanted pigs or people, whether they wanted hogs or humans, which was the most profitable. I believe America's about like that today. They don't know whether they want to do embryonic cell research and destroy a bunch of babies to try to cure somebody's lumbago, or just let them babies live. I'll tell you why. It sounds like America needs the devil cast out of it. Huh? Can you say amen? But, you know, they ask him to depart. There's people in this house right this morning that have asked the Lord this week, get out of my life. You say, I don't believe that. Oh, yes, it's true. Amen. There are situations that come in people's lives, and they had to decide whether to go on what the Lord would have them do or what they wanted to do. And so they said, Lord, if you don't mind, you just step aside and I'm going to do what I want to do. Huh? You say, well, that's unheard of. No, it's not. It happens every day. How many knows the Bible said that if we apostatize in our life, that we crucify the Lord afresh every day? Hear the hammer ring. Amen. So they ask him to depart. And here, listen to this right here. Chapter 9, verse 1. You know what the Lord did when they asked him to depart? Well, he entered into a ship and he passed over and came into his own city. Now, if you know, there's other gospels that tell this miracle, and it's Capernaum they're talking about. Because if you remember the 4th chapter of Matthew, Christ left Nazareth and he moved into Capernaum, where Peter and some of his disciples lived. And that is really the hub of his ministry there on the coast in Capernaum. While he was here on earth, he did a lot of miracles and a lot of great things in Capernaum. And that's where he goes here today in our lesson. And I hope I can get this to you. But he passed into a ship, he got in a ship, and he left them behind. All right? And he came to his own city, and behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, now notice this. Now there's a lot of detail in Luke and Mark about this. Great, and it's a great lesson. How many has ever heard anybody preach about the four, grab a corner? Anybody ever hear that message? Grab a corner. See, four men brought this man to Jesus. If you read, I'm not going to dwell on Mark and Luke. I'm dwelling on Matthew here. Amen. But here is a man, and you know what? You know what? I already see something in this verse. Already. It says, and behold, they brought him. Now, brother, that tells me a great deal already without, and here's why it took us 5 years. There's already two sermons popped up in this text. How many has seen a sermon yet in that first phrase? Anybody? Huh? Does anybody see a sermon in there yet? Hello? Oh, you're not the preacher. Okay. Oh, let me see if I can point out a sermon to you here. Okay. I'm sure. Okay. I noticed some things in this first line. All right. He went back to his home city, and it says there was one sick of the palsy. Amen. And that it says they brought him. Now, how many understands it? We're not in this all by ourselves. How many are here this morning because somebody brought you? But I tell you what, I'm my own man. I do. Come on now. I tell you, there's a time when you was a little old younger than you'd have died as sure as the world if your mama hadn't stuffed something in your mouth. Ain't that right? I don't think there's anybody here could boast this morning. We're self-sufficient. Oh, come on. All God would have to do is just close your air path for just 30 seconds and you'd be screaming, Lord, help me, somebody help me. You don't believe that, do you? Huh? That's right. Amen. The first thing I see here, there's two things I want to deal on this morning. Number one is, amen, there's a man here that needs the Lord desperately. He's paralyzed. He can't. There's another message right there. Amen. We're weak. Amen. We can't. There's times that we can't do things on our own. There's times that there's just things that we cannot get done. Amen. Has anybody ever said this? I've said it myself about life. Amen. I've looked at the things that I had to do and the potential I had and the ability I had, and I've actually said, Lord, I can't do this. Here's a man sick of the palsy. And paralyzed, and he got the word Jesus is over here, because in the other gospels it says it was noised abroad that Jesus was in the house. But I can't get there. Amen. We preach about the lost world going to hell and tattooing up and taking drugs. But how many knows that they really can't get here without somebody helps them? Now I want to preach to the church right here just a minute. I want to preach to us. Amen. God did not call us to be the Lone Ranger. Is there any Tontos can say amen this morning? Huh? I said, God did not call us to be the Lone Ranger. Praise God, when He called us out and calls us to be, amen, to be saved, He called us for a purpose. What did He tell His disciples? Amen. And how many knows when you got saved? I remember, Brother Charlie, the moment I got saved, I felt like I needed to share what had happened to me with somebody else. I mean, it was instantly. Huh? I didn't get saved and say, boy, I hope nobody finds this out. No, you couldn't get saved like that. When I got saved, I immediately wanted to tell. I was timid. I didn't know what to say. I really didn't even know what had happened to me. But I felt like I need. That's the way it is. You in this house this morning, you're in a sad shape, friend, if you come in here and you don't see no paralytics anywhere that need to get to Jesus. Come on now, church. Somebody say amen. But now this lesson this morning, Jesus went and the Bible said they. I want to get some volunteers this morning before we go any further. Amen. I know it may take me 5 more years to get out of Matthew. I don't know. But I want some volunteers. Who will volunteer to be a they this morning? Here's a man, he can't get there by himself. Jesus is over there in the house. He cannot get there by himself. Somebody has got to get a corner. He was laid on a cot. Somebody has got to get him, amen, to the Son of God. Can you say amen? How many like to have a service this morning that would tear the roof off? He said, we just put this roof on. You know what I'm talking about. How many like to have a service this morning, amen, that would wake somebody up, that gets somebody to Christ, amen, to change their very life? Is there any lives in here that's been changed by the Son of God? Anybody in here? Now, I want you to notice that these men, in order, now there's some things you've got to have to belong to this they team. You've got to have some things. Number one, you've got to have some faith in the Son of God. You're not going to bother to put him on a cot and pick him up off the ground and carry him all the way down there to that crowded house if you don't have faith that once you get him there, amen, somebody say amen. You know why we have to have Bring a Neighbor Sunday, amen, to generate an interest in you, to invite somebody to come to Jesus, and we ought to do it every week, amen. Is he helping me? Okay. I said we ought to do it. What has he done for you? These four men that carried him were they group. They. Do we have a they? Now, I'm going to tell you, God did not call you just to sit on the pew and do your own thing. That's the very purpose to come to church, to exhort one another, to encourage one another. That's why we come in a group. That's why God ordained the house of God. Amen. You say, well, I don't really need church. I think I can live for God. You know, I really doubt your experience if you feel like that. Huh? Well, I tell you what, there's so many hypocrites and so much tail-bearing, I can do better up in the mountains. You need to pray through. That's right, because God ordained, amen, people going to the house of God and congregating together. Amen. That's why you ought to live right. So when you get in the audience of the congregation of the holy, you can begin to worship God and help somebody. Somebody came in this house just this morning. There's somebody in here that's not even right to, amen. If they die today, amen, we would not be able to say they made it all the way to glory because their life does not witness that. Amen. And they're in this house and they need to get to Jesus today. Come on, church. Somebody say amen. Oh, there's several sermons in this text. They group, at least four, brought this man that was paralytic, could not help himself. He could not walk. They put him on a cot. Now, let's go a little step further. I've got about 12 minutes here. I want you to get this lesson. I want to know, which one are you? Are you on the corner or are you on the cot this morning? You say neither one. You're one or the other. Where are you? Where are you at this morning? Now, you say, well, I'm just standing over there watching. No, you're not. You're either one or the other. You're either on the cot. There's been times I've been on the cot, Brother Josh. I'd like to be on the corner this morning. You know, but it'll cost you. They had to take a day off from work. Huh? They had to pick up. Anybody ever carry a man? Huh? Anybody ever carry a man? They picked him up and carried him up. You know, there's some of these young men, and I don't mean to get off on a negative, but Brother White, and they'll have pallbearers to carry that coffin, and I think the classmates are honorary pallbearers, and what that means, they carry a body with no life in it. Now, which would you rather do? Would you rather carry them before they're dead or after? Well, y'all are looking at me. That's right. You know why we had the school. You know why his mom and dad took him to church. You know why, amen, they had meeting. You know why we have camp meeting. Amen. You know why we have revival. We're trying to carry folks to the Lord before that fatal day. Huh? What are we going to do? We going to wait to a funeral to get all broke up again? Or could we carry somebody to the Lord this morning? Huh? He's still alive. He's not moving. But he's breathing. Woo! And as long as there's breath, there's hope. Have you give up on that one? Hey, I tell you what, he ain't gonna do no better. He ain't gonna do no good. He's just sorry. He's on meth and crack, and he's on pornography, and he's just a cheater and a liar. And I'll tell you what, he's not dead yet. Amen. So they rolled him over on a cot. And four of them got up. Now, I'm going to tell you, they were probably strong. Amen. It wasn't an unbearable load, but it was a load. I wonder how many of our precious church this morning has sat here and you don't have not 1 ounce of load upon your back for the lost. Huh? Only weight you can carry is your own carcass when you get out of the bed in the mornings and put your face in that bowl of gravy. I'm going to preach to you. I don't care. You can run me off. That's all right. Huh? That's right. And then grab yourself up and put your boots on and go out and put yourself in your car, your truck, or motorcycle, or moped, or doped, or whatever you're riding. Huh? Then you go out and you do whatever you want to do all day long. You never have one iota thought about anybody else. Somebody's going to die. Come on now. I love you. I really do. But I'll tell you what, to get this miracle on the way, we've got to join this group of they, T-H-E-Y, not just I and me and mine and what we're going to do, but brother, they got him on the cot. And I know I've got to get on, but I'll tell you what motivated these men was the man in that house. Amen. And when they came to him, they said, if we can get him in the presence of the Son of God, how many has that much confidence in the Bible? If we can get him to the house of God and let Brother Randy and his poor way preach the gospel to them, there's some help for them right there. Huh? That's right. Help me preach a little bit. That's why, listen to me now. That's why I'm going to preach in this funeral. This little boy over here. Wyatt, we never talked much. He was just kind of standoffish when you talked to him. You know, I'd spoke to him every time I saw him. We'd speak, how's it going? And he's just kind of timid around the, but I'm telling you, when I preached to him here, and when he passed on, his parents said, look, he had the utmost confidence and respect in your preaching, and we want you to preach over him. How many understands what I'm talking about? Here's where it's all about. Do we have enough confidence to put our kids under the preacher, under the man of God, under the teaching of the Word of God, knowing that that is what's going to save his very soul? Somebody say amen. Do these men had confidence? If I can get him in the presence of the Son of God, if I can get him down to my church, you know, I would not go to a church that I didn't want somebody else going to. Amen. I wouldn't do it. I'd find me another one. If I wouldn't have a preacher that I didn't want nobody else to hear. Amen. I want a preacher that he's going to preach the truth and it's going to cause a conversion in the life of my children, in the life of my neighbors, in the life of somebody say, woo. These four men had confidence. If I can get him near Jesus, he won't be the same man when we leave here. How about you? Are you here this morning? I wish I could preach to you. Are you here this morning and you need some eternal help? You're in the right place. All right. All right. When they came to it, they carried that man's body. And I don't know how big he'd be. I'll tell you what, he may have been weak and bony. I'll tell you, I wouldn't want to carry Brother Mark very far. Huh? Or he might have been like Brother Josh here. I sure enough wouldn't want to carry him very far. Huh? I'm going to tell you, they called it carried him far enough. But when they got there, there's a crowd so big, we can't get him in. Now, what would that? Must not be the Lord's will. Was that what we'd say? Huh? How about when you get out and 4 drops of rain falls and keeps 14 people home from church? Now, rain is a powerful thing. Huh? And snow is more powerful than that, Brother Mac. Huh? But they got that, brother. Y'all helping me? You don't have to love me. Are you helping me? I know love me is a big order right now. But I tell you, they carried that guy to the house, and I don't know whose idea it was. Right here would be 4 great men. If I was on a cot right here, right here'd be 4 men. I'd love to carry me. They carried him up there, and I don't know who was the first guy. I'll tell you what, this would be whoever it was, be a good man to hire. Because, see, it's like I've told my boys many times. I've said, don't be a troublemaker, be a trouble solver. Yeah. Huh? Don't be a problem maker, be a problem solver. Get on a job and something break down. Oh, we got to quit, we can't do this. Find out how to get it going again. Somebody, I don't know who it was, Brother Jeremy. It might have been all of them. They might have said, well, praise God, we're not going to let this stop us. I wish I could tell somebody here this morning that's got some difficulty in your life. You're not going to say, oh, I don't let this stop me. Well, how else are we going to get in there? The windows are all covered. The door's covered. The crowd's out in the yard. Amen. There's no access. There's not but one spot open. How many knows what spot it was? Well, I didn't know they had skylights in them Jewish homes and staircase from upstairs where they could go up and unlock the door and slide down the steps. Did y'all? How many knows they didn't? That wasn't it. What did they do? You're in here this morning, and I'll tell you what, you come with your religious notions and you in your Sunday garb, and you look really sweet and nice, and it looks like a holiness church just about completely. But I want to ask you, are you in the presence of the Lord? Are you going to leave here better than when you came? Are you going to leave here healed of your disease? Come on now. They said, I'll tell you what, we'll go do, and this is not in the gospel. This part of the gospel, but I couldn't hardly teach this without mentioning this. But notice what they said. It said they brought him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. Now notice what it said. Now I'm going to go tell the in-between. It don't tell it here. It does in Mark and Luke. But you know what they did? They tore up the roof. Yeah. Why? To get their friend in the presence of the Son of God. They tore up the roof. Huh? How about it? A preacher was preaching this week down in Alabama, and he told about a pastor in a church or something. I can't remember the exact detail, but he said that he started a chain fast in the church for you know, just try to have revival, and he involved everybody, and he said that the majority of that group and the younger group had never fasted a day in their life. Did you hear me? I'm going to tell you, if you don't fast and pray, you're not going to get the roof up. You got to make an effort. You got to, hey, how many, anybody ever tired? You ever tore a roof up, Brother Mark? I have. It's not easy, is it? It's work. Brother, first time I ever had back trouble, Brother Charlie, they had tired some plywood together on an old flat roof, and I was trying to tear it up and put a straight bar in there and pry it up on that. And I'm telling you, my back went down. I went down on my knees, and the boss came up and said, don't turn anything on compensation. Oh, anyway, I wasn't going to mention that part of it, but that, you know how it is. Huh? It's hard to tear a roof off. But they tore it up, and then they lowered. Now I've got this pictured in my mind. They had to probably have some rope on them corners now. How many sees this? They tied it off on rope, and here they go, letting this man down on a cot. He still don't look no better. Matter of fact, he's saying, boys, you're killing me. Huh? Oh, don't drop me. Can I get through this hole? Just be still. Be still. You're there this morning needing to get in the presence of the Lord, and you've been shook up in this service. Just be calm now. We're going to get you in close to Jesus. You know, and when Jesus looked up, he saw ropes and hands and a body. And what else did he see? He saw their faith. Feel the Holy Ghost right here. Do you feel him? He saw their faith. I don't know if he could see their face, but he could see their faith. And when he saw their, there's another plural. How many in your English lesson, how many knows that that's a plural, their, possessive plural, their faith, their. More than one. How many? More than one. Their faith. You know why we're here together? You know why we have group prayer meetings? That doesn't substitute for your closet of prayer. Amen. But it's just a symbol of a desire for a revival. Amen. Here it is. Are we going to have, is this, and you know what? When they lowered him down, the Lord, let's listen to what the Lord said. We're about done. It's almost a golden hour. We've got to beat the Methodists to the restaurant. Here we go. It says, they brought him sick of the palsy or palsy, ever how you want to say that, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick. You get this? Their faith. Sick. There's a connection here. He looked at their faith, and then he looked at the sick. I wonder if there's anybody in here this morning could have faith for somebody else. Come on now. Huh? How about that? Where's that connection at? What about what the Bible said, he that winneth souls is wise? Can we have faith? Can we have compassion? Can we have sympathy? Can we have concern for somebody else? I'm almost done. How many is getting high tore off of you today besides myself? Anybody else? No, you're not going to raise your hand. I know it's the truth. We got to understand. Hey, and you know my old classic illustration. I've told this all over America. The story about coming down the street and the little black dog. How many members of Little Blackie? Y'all don't want to hear it again? Somebody may not have heard it. I'm sure there's somebody here hadn't heard it. I hit that little old black dog, and it looked like it was in bad shape, and I got out to just move it out of the road and see if it. And when I got out, that little old black dog had blood running out one ear, and I thought he'd goner. But what really hurt me is that little boy came out of that yard and screaming, "Blackie, you killed Blackie." Now that hurt me. You ever pray for a dog? But Brother Mac, when he ran up there and seen it wasn't Blackie, he said, "You ain't Blackie, you old dumb dog." And I thought, boy, how quick our burden leaves. That's the way it is when it's not our loved one. Huh? When it's not going to profit us any. When they're not going to come to our church anyway. Oh, y'all out there. Are y'all out there? I remember one time, I got to close. I better not tell this. I'll tell this another time, but we're running out of time here. And I feel like I've been, you know, on the edge the whole time. I don't know, but he saw their faith. What did the Lord, how did he react to their faith? He said to the sick, "Son, be of cheer." Now, wait a minute. Cheer up here. Paralytic, cheer up. Now, Jesus can say that because he knows what's getting ready to happen. He said, "Son, cheer up, for thy sins be forgiven thee." Oh, boy. And this is another message altogether. Amen. Here comes number 14 in this half a verse. He comes in and he says, "What? He just blasphemed." That's what those standing around, "He can't forgive sin." But then he said, "Take up thy bed and walk." Man never walked. I don't know if he got in an accident and had a spinal cord injury I don't know what it was. But brother, when the Son of God said walk, you know what you do? They got all shook up over it. They said he can't forgive. But notice what the Lord said first, and it's still that way with him. He'd rather save you as heal you. He can do both. He can do it well. And I'll tell you what, I'm looking for some healing. But I'll tell you what, my main thrust is here this morning is somebody in this house is not right with God. Somebody's been praying for you. I wonder, let me just ask you a question. Is there somebody in this house this morning here that somebody else has prayed for? I wonder. Huh? Oh, yeah. Brother, I want to ask you this, and we're going to close, and I've asked you this before, but how many are in this house saved and nobody ever prayed for you as far as you can remember before you got saved? There may be somebody. Huh? Brother Don? Somebody prayed for you? Oh, yeah. I don't have to ask. I know you. Well, I know. But, Jim, anybody ever pray for you? Huh? Sister Bonnie? There's no need of really going much further, are they? So that tells me something. We got to where we are with the help of somebody else. And once we get the victory, it would be, what would I say? It'd be pitiful for us to forget everybody else in the world, knowing that we got there simply because of the grace of God and others' prayers. Amen. How many feels like grabbing a corner this morning? Huh? Tearing up the roof. Now, there's some people that can do some things that may not be good at tearing up roofs. So I could pick out a few men here this morning, Brother Darrell. You'd be a good roof tear upper. Amen. Nathaniel, I think he could probably tear some shingles off the roof. Huh? Amen. Now, Jim's scared of heights, but he could hold the ladder. Huh? Couldn't he? Come on now, church. How many know we had 175? I don't know what we got here today, Brother Mac. 159. Now, that's a good number for this last day and all that. But, if everybody got this message on their heart, what would we have next Sunday? Huh? What do you think? What would we have next Sunday, you think? If everybody got this message on your heart and found you a paralytic, amen, and have compassion on them and sympathy on them,